Seated alone in glory, throned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, throned in the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You reign above it all, you reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all the heaven and the earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all.
Well, good morning. Welcome home to Hope on the Beach Church. Good to see you this morning, especially if you're a first-time guest. We're so glad to welcome you. We count you as a blessing, and we are grateful that God has sent you all our way this morning. You have received a bulletin as you came in, and in it you will find a connection card. Looks like this, and we'd ask that you fill out the information on the front of the card, if you would. Just gives us some personal information about you, know where you came from. We'd love to connect with you, but we can't always do it in person. So this helps us connect, even if we don't get to meet you personally. So if you wouldn't mind filling that info out, you can also list some prayer requests. And this time of year, it's a good idea, right in the middle of this front of the card, there's a little box that says, text Sunday weather alert. Be a good idea for you to check that box, because we are kind of on the move this time of year. Ed Wallin is still got a little construction, and next Sunday they have the seaside race, so that's going to keep us off the beach over there. And Shunk Gully is still under construction. So, and if the weather keeps staying cold, now you guys aren't so affected, because it's the same warmy toast in here every Sunday at 11. So if this is your venue of choice, no changes for you. But if you do like to, excuse me, if you do like to try some of the others, you may, the weather may affect where we are. So just a little heads up there on that one. So we're glad you're here. I'm going to invite you to stand together as we go to worship, as we worship our Lord, whose steadfast love never quits on us.
And so this morning, as we enter into a time of singing and praise, where we declare his name, I wonder if we could pause for a moment and just prepare our hearts. I'm reflecting on scripture and what I see in the disciples whenever Jesus would do something amazing, like he silenced the sea, and the disciples' response wasn't like, let's sing a song to Jesus. No, it was, get away from me, I can't be in your presence. In the Old Testament, whenever God would present himself, people would be in fear. It's God here. And so sometimes we enter into these moments and we say, let's just sing ruckus praise. But I think sometimes we need to pause and say, God, let me set my heart straight. So let's do that this morning as we sing praise. We're going to sing a song, and I love the bridge here. It says this. Let me read this. Your promise still stands as the chorus. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me. So this morning as we sing praises, let's pause for a moment and prepare our hearts, and then we'll sing this morning. Walking around these walls, and I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, and I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You never failed me yet. And I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass, and my heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Sing it out. And Jesus, you're still enough to keep me within your love, and my heart will sing your praise again.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You never failed me yet. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I've seen you do it again. You made a when there was no way, and I believe. Now I see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. And I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet.
Wanted to read a scripture, a familiar passage to you this morning, but I want to put a song in context for us as we continue to sing. It says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. This is Psalm 100, and here's why we can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And give thanks to him, bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. And his faithfulness is to all generations. That's an amen, isn't it? Amen. So this morning, as we sing about his goodness, as we look at a word, a really important word in the scripture, let's sing about that this morning. It goes like this. And I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. In all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkness night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God all my life. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness, sing it out. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I breathe, oh, I will sing the goodness. All my life, sing it out. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
And yes, we did. You pray with me. Well, God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. And so often we go through our day not counting our blessings. And so today we begin again, Lord. Help us to recognize the many blessings that you have blessed us with. And as we go throughout our day, Lord, help us to see how good you really are and how much you really love us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when you do a sermon like this, you got Super Bowl Sunday going on. Anybody going to watch the Super Bowl? No. You got Valentine's Day coming up. You bought your sweetie a Valentine's Day card yet? My wife and I have this tradition. I've got one on my phone right now. When we go shopping, like whether it be Walmart, you know, Target or someplace, and they have Valentine's Day, like stuffed animals or cards or stuff, we'll pull one off the rack when the other person's not looking, and I go, Happy Valentine's Day, and I give it to her, hand it to her, she smiles, and I take her picture, and then we put it back. And we do that all the time. And then one time she gave me this stuffed bear. You know, have you seen the big stuffed bears? I mean, that barely fit in your car. She gave me one. She said, Happy Valentine's Day. And she turned around. There it was. And there's a picture of me holding it. We sent them those pictures to our kids, you know, like, and we put it back. And so I decided I would figure out what not to do on Valentine's Day. So this is a Google, all right? I didn't make this up. So what they did is they asked women, what is the worst Valentine's Day present you ever got? Guys, pay attention here, okay? So here's a list of just seven things of what not to do, okay? Not to do. These are actual things that happened. One lady writes, my boyfriend at the time thought it would be funny to send me a get well soon balloon. You know those Mylar balloons? And when I was in high school, he tied it to my locker. So all day long, people were walking up to me, spending the day. I thought it was going to be like a special day for my boyfriend. Everyone was saying, "Are you okay? Are you sick? What do you got?" You know, don't breathe on me. They were always avoiding me on Valentine's Day. Don't do that. And number six, I'm going to go six of these. One woman wrote, "I saw a teddy bear, a dozen roses on the counter at home when I got home from work. So when my husband walked in, I went, 'Honey, oh, babe, sweetheart, I love them.' And he goes, 'Don't get too excited. Actually, the UPS guy dropped them off here, and they go to the lady next door. She's not home, but he asked me to deliver them.' And then she says, 'And he didn't give me anything.'" Number five, my ex gave me a handful of seeds and says, "I'm allergic to flowers, to grow your own." It wasn't even in a bag or anything. It was just in his pocket. Seriously? Number four. This is a good one. I got a T-shirt. And you can go online and do this, by the way, guys, if you want. I got a T-shirt with my boyfriend's face on the front and a poem on the back telling me how great he was. Think she wore that thing? Nah, it's her ex-boyfriend gave her that shirt. Okay. Number three. My ex picked me up in the limo, took me to a fancy restaurant, wined and dined me, and we took the limo back to my house. And as he was dropping me off, he goes, "Oh, by the way, half of the cost is $450. Can you write me a check?" Yeah, I bet she didn't date him again. Number two, my ex gave me a candle lotion set and this little nice gift box that I gave his mom for Christmas. It's a re-gift. What's wrong with that? Number one, bad thing. Don't do this. My ex, emphasis on the word ex, gave me flowers that he stole off a grave at the local cemetery. And rest in peace on it. That's a cheapskate. You know, Valentine's Day, we talk about the word love, the four-letter word love, L-O-V-E. And that's the theme. And we say, "I love her, he loves me." And we also talk about, we love our dogs, we love our cats. I love ice cream. But there's a better word. And it's a word that I hadn't thought about, and Pastor Jason sent it to me. And when I first saw that, it brought me back to my prep school days at Concordia in Austin, Texas, in my Hebrew. And it's a word that we're going to talk about today, and it's pronounced hesed. Hesed. And it's a Hebrew word. Before I define it for you, we're going to read the scripture. And as we read this, I want you to ask yourself this question. How much does God love you? And how aware are you of God's love? How aware are you of God's love in your life? Okay, put that in your brain. Here we go. Hosea 2, 19 and 20 and 23. "And I will betroth you to me," this is God speaking, "I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in the righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you," it's the third time, "you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." And he writes, "And I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy, and I will say to not my people, 'You are my people,' and he shall say, 'You are my God.'" And I'm going to skip over to Hosea 11, 1 through 4. "And when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I fed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who erases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them." What a love letter this is to you from God about his love for us. Our outline begins with a question, like I say, Old Testament class, what is hesed? And Pastor Jason defined it as a covenant love that binds itself. And I'm going to explain that to you. Hesed is a Hebrew word, as I said, does not have a synonym. In other words, you can't just say Hesed means this. In order to define Hesed, you have to go through a whole bunch of words. And I'm going to get to those in a minute. But this word has been described by Hebrew scholars as the most significant word in the Old Testament. If there's one word you had to pick out in the Old Testament, it would be this. And what Hesed is how God relates to his people. God is loyal, he's merciful, he's faithful, he's steadfast, unwavering, he's resolute. It's the whole thread that joins the Bible together, Hesed. This is God's relationship with us. He loves us. Oh, well, yeah. But more than that. And he binds humanity to himself. That means he enters into an irrevocable covenant with us. Irrevocable. Pledging faithfulness, unconditional love to his people. You know, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and I talk to people and couples before they get married. And I always ask them this question. Why do you want to get married? And guess what the number one answer is? We love each other. And I say to them, come up with something better than that. Can you come up with something better than that? And they look at me like, what is better than love? You know, if you can fall in love, you can fall out of love. Not only that, but if it doesn't work out, we can always get a divorce, okay? That's not Hesed. That is a shallow, artificial love. And what God is saying is that my love for you is unconditional. It's not based upon your performance or circumstances or your preference or your good looks or convenience. It's a love that's binding forever. Which brings us to Hosea 2:19. This is what God says. I will betroth you to me for how long? Forever. In biblical times, betrothal was like an engagement agreement, kind of like our engagement today, but it was much more than that. It was much more. It was a contract, really a legal contract, the betrothal. And it also describes God and his people. God betroths himself to us. And the New Testament, we have this illustration of the betrothal because we got Jesus as the bridegroom and the church is his bride. And that's what we are. We're the bride of Christ. And we are watching for his return. Remember, keep your lamplights burning because the bridegroom may be coming. And when he comes on the second coming, is the marriage and we get to go to heaven where we'll eat at the Lamb's high feast, the marriage supper. And there we'll see all the saints that have gone before us, all those people that believed in Jesus, all your relatives that have gone before us, your mom and your dad, your grandma and your grandpa, kids that have died before you. We'll see Peter and John, James, Luke, and Paul, Brother Tom, without a doubt. What a sight to see the redeemed with the Lord in paradise, worshiping the Lord. That is God's covenant to us. But until that day, God says, I want a relationship with you now. And when you were leading us in worship, you're trying to get us focused in upward. And some songs are about God. Some songs are to God. And when we sing to God, our attention is toward him, is toward heaven. And what kind of God are we singing to? Well, in Exodus, in your notes, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, God described himself to Moses as this. The Lord, a God of mercy and gracious, abounding in steadfast love, hesed, and faithfulness is what God described himself out as. And number two, how does God's people respond to God's love and his hesed? The unfaithful bride and the wandering child. That's how we respond. You love us a lot? Okay, whatever. Really. And imagine being called by God, and this is a story about, since we're in this book, Hosea was told by God to marry Gomer. And God says, she's going to break your heart, just so you know that. I want you to marry her, but she's going to be unfaithful. Marry her anyway. And Hosea did. A woman who had been unfaithful, she would leave him, betray him. She would even sell herself to others. We call that prostitution. And yet Hosea obeyed God. He married this woman. He brought her home. Over and over again, Gomer leaves. Where is she? When she's with some other guy. And one day she leaves him completely, and she ends up enslaved like a sex slave. And what does Hosea do? No, he doesn't do that. He goes and buys her back. He buys his own wife back. He buys her back. And all this, God says, is a picture of his relationship with his people. How unfaithful we are, but how faithful he is, that we commit spiritual adultery. And God says, I'm coming for you. My grace and mercy is going to change things. It's the kind of love that says, even if you run away, I'm coming after you. Even when you break my heart, I won't give up on you. That's Hesed. And that's what God did for Israel, and that's what he does for us in Christ. When we were dead in our trespasses, when we were spiritually dead, and when we had turned away from God, God didn't give up on us. He forgave us. He came to buy us back, and it cost him the blood of his only begotten son, Jesus. He didn't love us because we were faithful. He loved us to make us faithful. That's Hesed. It's how God's children, and how do we respond to this great Hesed of God? Look at Hosea 11:2. We read this a moment ago. The more I called them, the more they went away from me. That's exciting, isn't it? Not. God primarily through his prophets was calling his people to him. The more urgently they were called, the more they went away. Intentionally distancing themselves from God. And instead of responding with love to God's love, they ran away from God. And this is how God describes his children's response to him in Isaiah 1, 2, and 4. He says this, children I have reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. And you can hear God's heart in this, can't you? Maybe some of you experienced this. Kids that you've raised up and all of a sudden you have no relationship with them. He's a loving parent who reared and brought up his children and they rebelled. And I remember the scene of Jesus looking over Jerusalem from a hill. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicken under her wings, but you would have me not. Jesus wept over the rejection of Jerusalem. Rebellion is more than just making a mistake. It's not like, well, I goofed. No, rebellion is intentional. It is an intentional revolt against a relationship. You know, the story of Hosea is a profound, painful illustration of God's relentless love. We did this song. We haven't done it in a long time called Reckless Love. Remember that song, Reckless Love? That's God pursuing his people. And this rebellion even gets worse. Look at number A in your notes. We don't just break rules. We break what? Trust. You know, the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't just Adam and Eve broke a commandment, don't eat of this tree. They broke God's trust. They had a relationship with God. And they broke his trust. A trusted relationship between God and man. And what did Adam and Eve do? They were fearful. They were hiding. And they were blaming each other. That's what happens. And breaking trust is far more damaging than just breaking a rule. How bad does it get? Well, look at Romans 3:19. It says that no one understands, no one seeks for God. As if God doesn't exist. So are you ready for some good news?
I am.
Number three, God's Hesed speaks louder than our sin. God goes, you know, in the Garden of Eden, you know, when God sees this happening, Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, he's going like, oh, gee whiz. You know, he didn't stomp his feet and go, I'm just going to give up on this. If I would have been God, I would have just stepped on them, started over. You did what? Okay, watch this. You know, Adam, Eve. We're going to start over. But God's love, steadfast covenant love, and loyalty is more powerful than our sin, more powerful than our disobedience, more powerful than our rebellion, more powerful than our betrayal of God's trust. God's mercy and his grace ultimately overcome our sin and God's judgment. And this is what Hosea 19 says. God says, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and steadfast love and in mercy, despite your unfaithfulness. I'm going to restore our relationship, God is saying. I'm persistent. God's people that had previously played the harlot are going to become his faithful wife, he says. And God's promise to Israel, he says it three times, I will betroth you, a promise of intimate relationship that doesn't focus in on the past, it focuses in on the future. You understand that? We focus in on the past. There's an old saying that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on who? Me. Yeah, we remember so we don't get fooled. And God goes, I remember your sin no more. That's how faithful God is to us. So where are we in the story? Number four, Christ is heset in the flesh and blood. God's plan since the Garden of Eden was to bring the Messiah into the world. And in Hosea, he says, out of Egypt I called my son. And Christ heset says this. Even though the promise was given in the Garden of Eden, it was fulfilled when Jesus was born. Christ the Savior was born, the angel said. And the birth of Jesus is where this steadfast love and Christ becomes flesh to dwell among us. And in John 1:1 says, the Word became flesh to dwell among us, full of grace and truth. And the psalmist who wrote about God's heset says this in Psalms 85:10. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. And what this is a profound summary of God's character, of who God is, and how he restores and brings his people together. And God did all this so that, as Martin Luther describes it, that I may be his own and live under him and his kingdom. That's why God did all this. I may be his own and live under him and his kingdom. And Jesus didn't pay the price for our sin. He did it with the intent to bring us home, to have a relationship with us. He broke down the walls of sin, guilt, and so that he could have a relationship with us. And that brings us to number five. The cross is where heset reaches its limit and breaks through it. How much does God love you? The answer is greater than you can ever imagine. God demonstrated his love in the most powerful way. The cross is the other extreme, because the cross represents the most extreme form of human rejection and suffering, the point where man's rebellion had reached a limit. I mean, what else can you do to the guy besides kill him? I mean, you can whip him, you can spit on him, you can torture him, but in the end, you kill him. And this is where it reaches its limit. And heset breaks through that. Heset breaks through our limit of evil and breaks through it with the cross. And Jesus, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, the Bible says. God's heset breaks through by absorbing the consequences of our sin. And if you're wondering how much God loves you, God's love led him out of heaven to earth to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And number A, heset says, doesn't ignore sin, it answers it. And what this means is this. True love doesn't pretend that a debt doesn't exist. True love acknowledges the debt so it can be settled. The definite answer to sin is found on the cross. And God's love answers that. And B, that's why the gospel isn't encouragement, it's a verdict. So often we think of John 3:16 as a little magnet you put on your refrigerator. Oh, it's a cute little saying. It's the most repeated Bible verse, memorized verse in the Bible. But it's not just a refrigerator magnet. It's a legal declaration of what God has done. Imagine a jury that comes out. And the judge says, "What say ye?" And the head of the jury, what's his name? Head of the jury? Yeah, that guy. He says, you know, "On the count of man's sin against God, we find man innocent." Innocent? Yeah. Why? Because the verdict, Jesus. That's why the gospel encourages the verdict. Jesus died for you. He forgave you all your sin. The verdict of good news becomes our greatest source of joy. We're forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers our sins no more. How do you feel about that? Isn't that great? That's good news. And because of this verdict, number six, our identity is restored. Number six, our identity is restored. Humanity's identity was restored by replacing the old nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve. We call it original sin. With a new righteousness identity in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past and he has come. We've been born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Born again of the water and the Spirit, through your baptism and the Holy Spirit, you've been born again. And number A, God doesn't rehabilitate us. He reclaims us. In other words, rehabilitation means fixing something so it makes it functional again. Got to add a screw here, maybe a paint job here. That's not what God did. He reclaims us, and that means he did this. We were lost, and God found us. It's like going to lost and found and reclaiming something that was yours in the first place. And God reclaims us. The good shepherd never gives up searching for his lost sheep, does he? He'll leave the 99 and go look for the one, and we're the one. And the Bible describes us as being bought with a price, and that gives us a new life, and it brings us back into the family. So how do we respond to this? Number seven, living in Hesed. You got that new word, Hesed? You going to say that to each other? I Hesed you, you know. Thanks, Pastor Jason. The Apostle Paul knew firsthand what God had done in his life. Paul was uttering threats and murder, and he was, when Stephen was being stoned, he was there, like, kill the guy, kill the guy. And when Paul got saved and the Lord Jesus came in his life, Paul writes this in the book of Galatians chapter 2. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He makes all the difference in my life. And the key to living life in Hesed is to understand that God, what God has done for you and how he loves you. And the more you realize how much he loves you, the more you'll experience the fullness of life he wants you to have. And the greater our impact will be on the world. You're not like the world. You're set apart from the world. And the more you understand how much Jesus loves you, the more you understand how much grace he's given you, the more you can live your life. The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. And that dryness of your spiritual dryness. Some of us go through these valleys, don't we? Go through valleys, you know, in our walk with Jesus. We're not always on the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples and Jesus. Sometimes we're in the valley. But God wants to give us that fullness when we look at his love for us. And Jesus put it this way. Hesed looks like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Because when we understand God's love, we love him back, and then we can love each other. But sometimes, and I can't end here, I got to say that sometimes we like sheep go astray, don't we? We go astray, but he'll always be there looking for us. Our memory verse says this. Can you say this with me? If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's Hesed right there. That's who God is in your life. I want to end on a verse from Ephesians. You told me this is one of your favorite verses. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 19. And it says this. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He was under house arrest when he wrote this to the church at Ephesus. It's one of the prison letters, okay? So imagine he's in prison. He writes this. I pray out of his glorious riches. Pray out of his glorious riches. That means he's given you everything. That he, God, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's what I want. I want to be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Can you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us so much love. So much love. We can't even comprehend it, Lord. But help us each day to try to understand how much you love us. And may that love just fill our hearts and fill us with your fullness. And may your love, Lord, give us power. And may the joy of our salvation give us strength each day, knowing that one day when you come and get us, whether it be at our death or at your second coming, that we will be with you forever in a place you call paradise. And Lord, for that we pray, come Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this message of love that we can take out of this place into the world in which we live. Help us not to hold back. We have been called the light of the world, Lord. Help us to shine so brightly that people want to know what's going on in our lives. And then we can tell them about your love and how much you love them too. Holy Spirit, fill us all that we may leave here today changed and different, knowing that your love is so strong in our lives. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, who has further taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. We appreciate that word. And we invite you to respond to God's faithfulness by joining in our offering this morning, giving you an opportunity to give back to the Lord as he has shown his faithfulness to you. And so we have an offering envelope in your bulletin. If you need that, you can put your offering there. You also, there are instructions for how to give online or through the website. And so in a moment, we're going to receive your offering and invite you to come and bring it to the offering plates. But first, I want to call your attention back to your connection card and to the backside of it, where you can communicate with us, the staff. You can tell us what you are hoping to connect with, what activities you'd like to join in. Maybe you're interested in one of our ministries, or you've made a commitment today of some sort, and or you'd like to follow the Lord in discipleship training or baptism. You can just simply mark that info on the back of your card, and we'll invite you to bring your card and your envelope and place them in the offering plate in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to just call your attention to the bulletin. A couple of things coming up. One is next Sunday, we have a Lenten family event. The details are there for you. It's going to include breakfast and activities for the children. And so you can find the directions there for how to RSVP in your bulletin. Also, don't forget that on Wednesday, the 18th, we will be having our Ash Wednesday supper dinner, soup dinner, supper dinner, sure, soup dinner and worship. So 5:30 dinner, 6:30 worship. We invite you to come and be a part of that as we head into Lent. So we are blessed by your presence today, and we trust God has blessed you. I'm going to pray over our offering, and then we'll invite you to come and bring it to the plates. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this message and the reminder that your love is never ending. We respond to that love through our giving back to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to come.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Son,